You know, we live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, where there are, 10,000 things a day, that conspire to keep you from spending time with God and with God's people. Amen? It just seems to be the natural course of things. The devil is a powerful adversary. But today, you guys have overcome the wicked one. Amen? I don't know what kind of week you had last week, but congratulations on being here this morning. Amen? That's a good thing. I know that I always say, when you mess up, turn around, give yourself one good swift kick in the hind end, and then let it go and continue on. Amen? Well, you know, when you do something right, take a moment to give yourself a pat on the back as well. Amen? Because, it's good to do something right every once in a while. It breaks up the monotony of doing all those things wrong. That's funny. Hold on. Where's my... I have a thing in here that says joke. but I was, I was talking with somebody this week. We were having a conversation, and during that conversation, it kind of gave me cause to sit back and just think a little while and think about a few things. Our conversation actually wound up covering quite a few topics, but one in particular happened to catch my attention. And this topic actually has to do with what you and I need and, quite frankly, should be getting out of church. Right? Now, the truth is, what I'm going to preach on this morning is almost always available to you folks here at Berean. And, I can't necessarily speak for every church, but I imagine, quite frankly, that it is available at almost any church. And to be honest with you, even cults. if you were to truly actually look for it. It is, however, something that can easily be missed if you're not careful. It can certainly be avoided if you have a mindset to do so. It can also be rejected if you allow the pain and hurt feelings to be your driving force. Now, this topic, unfortunately, has caused many Christians to fall away from serving God. And it's also caused many Christians to leave a good sound church for maybe a less sound church because they felt like it was missing. I want to preach about this topic, and in doing so, my intention is to help you see how that you can have access to this critical part that you need as a Christian, and that it's readily available, and you just have to be aware that it's there, and how that you are going to play a big part, quite frankly, into whether you find it or not. Amen. So let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer before we get started here. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for a chance to be here on a Sunday morning. Lord, you are a great God, a mighty God, a holy God, and it is a blessing to be saved. I know that most of the folks in this congregation here are born again. Lord, I'm certainly thankful for that. I don't know about all the folks maybe watching on Facebook or live streaming later on, but Father, I do pray that that you would minister to the hearts of each and every individual. Help us, Father, to see not only what we need to be as Christians, but what you offer along the lines of this topic here this morning. You're a great God. We love you. We thank you for your protection, for your provision, and Lord, for the blessings that you've given us throughout so many years of life. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin this morning, Exodus chapter 1, again, familiar story. I'm not going to take time to read the whole thing. It would take entirely too much time, but we will read portions of it and refer to it throughout the morning. So take a look down at verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh the treasure cities of Phitom and Ramses. But the more They afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service with wherein they made them serve was with rigor. So you take a look at verse 11, and one of the things that stands out, and that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about this morning, it says in verse 11 that those taskmasters in the land of Egypt afflicted them, the children of Israel, with their burdens. Amen? I want to preach this morning on burdens, and specifically, I want to preach on bearing one another's burdens, and that's what I've titled the message here this morning. Now, before we talk about bearing one another's burdens, let's just briefly take a look at what a burden is. A burden, according to the dictionary, is something that is carried. It is like a load, right? We all know that. It is something that is oppressive or worrisome. It is something that is born with difficulty or obligation. It is something, another definition is something that is difficult or unpleasant that you have to deal with or worry about. It says in verse 11 that the taskmasters afflicted them with their burdens, right? Then it further describes those burdens using words like bitter, hard bondage, rigor. Rigor is harsh inflexibility, right? Not a pleasant thing to think about. It is a severity of life. It is an act or instance of strictness, severity, or cruelty. And those were the things used to describe what you and I think of and what you and I understand when we talk about burdens that you and I bear. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that Egypt is the type of the world, and you and I live in the world, and you and I are plagued with the burdens, just like the children of Israel were plagued with the burdens in the land of Egypt. Amen? Listen, you have burdens when you get home from work. You probably have burdens at work. You have burdens in trying to take care of your family. You have burdens with finances, with relationships, with responsibilities, with fears, with cares, and a thousand other things that you could probably mention if you took the time to really dig in. And then you have the burdens of dealing with yourself. Amen? Let's face it, folks, there are times when you have self-doubts, right? About a whole host of things about yourself. There are times where you deal with the burdens of regret. There are times when you deal with burdens about sins that committed in the past. There are times that you're burdened about guilt or failures, and I could go on and on and on and on, but let me say this about burdens. A lot of times, oftentimes, it's not God that gives you those burdens. Now, I understand sometimes God gives you burdens to bear, right? But oftentimes, it is not the Lord that's responsible for those burdens. In verse 11, it's the taskmasters that are putting those burdens on the nation of Israel. And those burdens originated from Pharaoh, a type of the devil, right? In verse 10. One of the things that you and I need in church, ladies and gentlemen, quite frankly, is a way to help you deal with those burdens that you have to carry around. Amen? You need help. Listen, we all need help with that sort of thing. Without help, your burdens can become massively impossible to bear. They grow and they grow and they grow and they multiply and they continue. And if you don't find some help somewhere, then those things become very much out of control. There was a lady in May of 2018 in Connecticut that had a tumor that was growing in her abdomen. And it took a team of 12 surgeons that worked 5 hours to remove that tumor. She was a 38-year-old woman that may seem like a lot of doctors and a relatively young woman until you learn the fact that that tumor weighed 132 pounds. I debated whether I should put a picture or not up there. But imagine 132 pounds of tumor in your abdomen. Right? Prior to the surgery, that tumor was growing at a rate of up to 10 pounds a week. The doctor said it may be one of the top, this is a scary thing, 10 or 20 tumors that he ever heard about. The largest one that he knew about was a 200-pound tumor that had been removed. That's chilling. That tumor had gotten so bad the patient couldn't walk. She was malnourished because she was unable to eat. She was in extreme danger of blood clots, other, you know, blood vessel-related damage. Her life was in jeopardy. The doctor said when he first walked into the examining room, he saw fear in her eyes. Why? Because he said she was hopeless. She had been to a lot of other doctors and nobody could help. They couldn't help her. Can you imagine trying to carry around a 132-pound tumor? That's a heavy load to bear. Amen? The surgery was successful. After the surgery, the doctor, you know, met her in the office, and he said, for the first time, I saw a smile on her face and hope in her eyes. He said, I saw a happy woman who was back to normal life. Amen? That's physically a picture of what you and I can face by trying to carry around burdens that are way, way, way too big for us to carry. And sometimes those burdens can be spiritual. Amen? And I'd like you to look at or think about a couple of things about those burdens that Moses and the children of Israel had to deal with. The first one, I know that I've already mentioned with it. We saw that in chapter 1. But the first one is, hey, it was the devil that placed it there. Now, I don't know what kind of burdens you have going on right now. I don't know what kind of burdens you carry around. Maybe they've been around for a while. Maybe you've been successful at getting rid of them. Praise the Lord. Or maybe you have yet to have some burdens laid upon you. But those things can be pretty detrimental to your well-being, obviously, physically in health, but spiritually as well. And a lot of times, like in Exodus chapter 1, it was a type of the devil that placed those burdens there. And you got to remember that. Take a look at Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. You know the story. Moses saw that those burdens that the children of Israel placed under. Take a look down at verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on what? Their burdens. And he spied out an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptians? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. You know the story. Again, Moses goes out, he kills that Egyptian, and what is he trying to do? He's trying to help. He's trying to relieve the burdens of the people of Israel, right? But the fact of the matter is, ladies, most of the time when you and I are carrying those kind of burdens, you know what we try to do? We try to take care of them our own way, right? We try to take care of those things in our own power. We have our own ideas on how to relieve the burdens that we're feeling, and we wind up trying a whole bunch of things, just like Moses did, and ultimately we find ourselves in a place where our ways don't necessarily work. Right? Listen, I'm not saying don't try to take care of your own problems. You should. All right? The Lord gave you a brain. The Lord gave you common sense. The Lord gave you good friends for counsel, all those things. You should try to take care of your own problems on a day-to-day basis. But ladies and gentlemen, you know as well as I do that sometimes some of those burdens are nagging and they hang around for a long time and it's pretty difficult to get rid of them. Right? And when that happens, folks, you need to find a place where you can get some assistance. You try everything you can to take care of them your way. And when that doesn't work, you need something. You need a different plan. Amen? Now, Moses does what the typical Christian does when they're faced with those kind of burdens. Moses looked at this situation. He tried to take care of it his own way. His own way apparently didn't work. Moses got to be a little afraid and worried about what Pharaoh was going to do when he found out. Surely Pharaoh's going to find out. And sure enough, Pharaoh did find out. And Moses did what a lot of Christians unfortunately do when they run into these kind of burdens. Moses turned around and he beat feet. Let's get out of here, man. Let's get out of this place. Let's run away. He leaves his people. Then he spends 40 years in the wilderness. Now, during that 40 years, folks, life went on. I mean, he met his wife. He got married. He had children. He was taking care of his father-in-law's flock. Life just continued to go on for 40 years, and things really weren't all that bad. But the burden, both his, that the Lord had given him, that is, you know, to lead his people out of the land of Egypt, and the people's burden that they were under back in the land of Egypt, neither one of those burdens left. For 40 years, they were still there. Even though Moses was just living his life day in, day out, right? And 40 years later, Moses once again, you know the story, once again came face to face with that burden that he was called to bear and the burden of his people. The sad part about those type of burdens is that most people try to deal with them just like Moses tried to deal with them. Right? Fear, worry, self-doubt, and then finally they run away. Like I said, I don't know what your burden is this morning, or even if you have one, something like that in your life. But if you're ever going to have real success, listen, you're going to need a couple of things to occur. And these are the same three things that Moses had to find when he was dealing with his burden. You will need to find, like Moses found, your burning bush. It's Exodus 3:2. You know the story. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. All right? What is that? Folks, if you know, one of the things that you need to get out of church is you need to get find a way to deal with the burdens that you carry around in your everyday life. Amen? Whether they're small or great, that is one of the things that you're supposed to be able to find in the church. All right, how do you do that? Well, in order to do that, ladies and gentlemen, you need to go through the same things Moses went through. You know, you may try to run away, you may be afraid, all those things that Moses went through, you're probably going to go through. But eventually, you need to get to a place where, you know what, God shows up to you and God becomes very real. You begin to see something, you find that burning bush, you look at the situation, the Lord puts you in these circumstances, and you look up and you go, oh God, only you could do that. Amen? Your burning bush. You find something that is real. That burning bush represents God's desire to show himself to you. Amen? That burning bush represents God's ability to do the impossible. And oftentimes we think it's impossible for our burdens to ever be lifted. That burning bush represents God's concern, quite frankly, with your burden. Moses had kind of set that thing aside for 40 years, and now God's back tapping him on the shoulder going, hey, buddy, let's take care of this, because not only is this burden yours, but we got a whole bunch of people back in the land of Egypt that are carrying a burden, and they need relief too. Amen? Amen. Listen, you have to find... you have to find that burning bush, but you'll need to find God yourself. You will need to find God at some level on your own. Amen. It says in Exodus 3:3. The Lord showed up in verse 2, and the bush starts burning, and Moses looks over, and he's, what is that? And you know the verse. In verse 3 it says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside. Right? Moses took an active part. When God showed up, Moses took an active part and said, you know what? I want to go see what on earth is going on with this. And if you're ever going to have those burdens lifted off of your back, folks, you're going to have to find your burning bush moment. God's going to have to show up, and you're going to have enough desire to go see what it's all about. Amen? Listen, maybe along the lines when you're looking for this bush, maybe you will be actively looking for him. Maybe those burdens will be weighing you down and you'll be crying out to God, Lord, show me, help me, take me out of this mess, give me direction, give me, you know, help me with the troubles that I'm in. Maybe you'll be actively searching for God, or maybe you'll just be wandering around the desert like Moses was, and all of a sudden God will show up to you anyway. But one way or the other, you need to find God. Amen? Listen, if you're not saved here this morning, that whole thing starts with salvation. I know most of you are, but if you're not saved this morning, you need to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him as your Savior by faith alone, not because you're a good enough person to get to heaven, not because you can ever earn your way to heaven, but because the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, because he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. You need to put your faith and trust in that. It's your burning bush moment, right? I know most of you have experienced that. But if you are saved this morning, listen, you need to find God's power and God's strength, right? If you're saved here this morning, you need God's hand to reach down and somehow or another in the midst of your burden, reach down and grab you and pull you up like he did Peter when Peter started to sink in the water, and pull you up and say, okay, I got you. Let's go. Let's take care of this problem. That's what you need. Amen? Moses found that in the burning bush, and he turned and he looked to see about it. You'll need to stop trying to carry your burden by yourself. Those burdens are too heavy to carry by yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Some are just too big to carry alone. You'll need that burning bush to help you find your way. Listen, sometimes you'll find that burning bush in the hospital, right? Or someone you love is in the hospital. Listen, I remember times when God showed me the burning bush. I remember once driving home from work and, you know, just questioning a lot of things and struggling in Christianity. And I was an associate pastor. And I remember pulling off of this. I got off work at like 2 o'clock in the morning, so it was probably 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning about this time. I pulled off on the side of the road, just got out in the field and walked around for a few minutes, just had a little prayer meeting with God. And it's like, God, you got to do something. If you're not going to use me, if you're not going to do something with me, then what's the point of me even going on? And the Lord took care of me. The Lord answered that. The Lord gave me an assurance that things were going to be okay. You say, did it happen immediately? No, but over time I look back now and I go, wow, that was pretty amazing. I remember sitting in the hospital, you know, a couple years ago with the leg thing, when the doctor came in, and I've told you this, but his initial diagnosis, or what he thought was going on, was multiple myeloma. I didn't even know what that was. I looked it up. I didn't like what I saw. Because there's no cure in, 5 years, there is no cure. So I was laying there in a hospital bed, quite honestly, thinking this. I got about 5 years. What am I going to do? That's a wild place to be. Right? I mean, everyone knows you're going to die, but when you get going 5 years, let's see, how many of those years, how long am I going to be healthy enough to pastor the church? What can I get done in 5 years? You think a little different. And you say, were you scared? You know, it was kind of strange because the Lord stepped in there and gave me a peace with that I can't explain. I wasn't scared. I was resolved to do whatever I could for the next 5 years. A few more if the Lord's gracious. How do you, I don't know how I did that. right? Because I don't necessarily like the thought of dying. But sometimes that's what it takes for the Lord to show people a burning bush, right? There's burdens, and the Lord reaches down, and the Lord will get you in a spot, and he'll show you a burning bush and make you realize, hey, listen, I am right here with you. You can't explain what's going on, but here I am. I'm right here with you, and I've got things well under control. Amen? Now, Moses didn't see that burning bush every day. And you and I won't necessarily see it every day either. But every once in a while, you'll be able to remember and go, hey, I remember when God took care of me here. I remember when God became real to me here. And that'll help you in your everyday struggles. That'll help you to get that burden off your back. But you got to be able to find the burning bush. And listen, because you and I have access to the God of the universe, that there is nothing that God cannot do, right? I mean, with God, all things are possible. Listen, you need to, the reality is, folks, every single one of us, we're all truly fighting battles that no one knows anything about. There's burdens you have that you carry around day in, day out, and, you know, you struggle with them.
Amen.
How do you get over them? You need to find a burning bush. You need to find God, right? You'll need to stop fearing, worrying, pouting, and doubting. And like Moses, turn aside and see why the bush is not consumed. And God will be there for you. You'll need to find a burning bush, and then you'll need to do this. You'll need to, you will need to go back to the brethren. Now, Moses, you know, Moses had a burden to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt, right? Obviously, he started off in his own power. He tried it his own way. That didn't work. He winds up running off. 40 years he winds up wasting. The Lord shows up in the burning bush. Moses finally has that burning bush moment. The Lord speaks to him. Now the Lord's there. And guess what? The first thing Moses has to do in order to get that burden off, he's got to turn back and he's got to go back to his people. Listen, nobody's burden gets lifted if Moses doesn't return to his brethren. Isn't that fair to say? If you want your burdens lifted, you know what you need to do? You need to go get back with the brethren. Return to that brethren. Yes, that means going to church. Amen? Church is where you can hear from God in a direct way, right? Your burning bush, so to speak, will be, you'll find a burning bush at church more often than you'll find it out in the middle of the wilderness. I can promise you that. Church is where the people are that God will use to help relieve your burdens. Church is where your spirit is surrounded by others with the same spirit. Right? And I know this one is, people would argue, but this is the way it should be. Church is where you can let yourself be real.
Amen.
And you can let yourself be vulnerable. Now, people don't necessarily like that, but please don't come to church and pretend like everything is okay when it's not. How on earth are you supposed to get any kind of help at all if you do that? Because everyone thinks everything's okay. Right? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Listen, I am not saying, you know me, I'm not saying that you have to be at every service. That's crazy. I get it. Life's nuts. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you're working. Sometimes things just come up. That I understand that. But I tell you this, the more you miss, the more likely your burdens are to win, right? The people that I see that normally fall under the weight of their burdens are the ones that kind of dabble. It's just tough. It's tough to find the help that you need when, you know, when you're not back with the brethren. The more you get in, the more you surround yourself with those kind of people, the better chance you have of getting your burdens relieved. That's just a reality, folks. Listen, now going to church in and of itself is not enough. All right? And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people's thinking stops. Well, I went to church and nothing happened. I went to church and I'm still having this struggle. I'm still under this burden and they're supposed to help me and I tried it. I went for 6 months straight and I'm still struggling with this burden. Going to church is not enough. When you get to church, listen, you'll need to establish some relationships with people. Amen? I mean, that's what the church is supposed to be. Otherwise, why gather all these different people here together in one spot? Right? You know, that means you got to talk to people. That means when you come to church, you got to go out of your way and you got to strike up a conversation and begin to engage and you got to be able to, you know, begin to start developing some relationships. It means you got to start talking and helping other people with their burdens along the way. Right? Listen, it also means that there are people at church that at first you may not like because they're different than you. It's not your crowd. Well, if they're different from you, guess what? You're different to them. It's all fair, right? In 1991, I've talked about this before, but take a little different direction on it. In 1991, there was an unknown shipwreck that was found off the coast of New Jersey. John Chatterton on the left and Richie Kohler on the right were two guys that ultimately wound up solving the mystery. But those were two scuba divers, guys from just completely different worlds, completely different philosophies. Yeah, they had one thing in common. They were both divers. But outside of that, their philosophy on diving and what they did when they were underwater was completely different. And to be perfectly honest with you, they actually hated one another. They despised each other at this, when this whole thing started. They refused to dive with each other. There was no way they were going to wind up working, cooperating with each other because they were just too different. Right? They avoided each other like the plague, and it was so bad that one of them didn't even want the captain of the boat to let the other one on the ship. Through a long series of events, because people died, and there were open spots, somebody wound up inviting Richie on the ship anyway, and John Chatterton just hated him. He was a commercial diver, phenomenal gentleman. He was an incredible, incredible diver, but he didn't want anything at all to do with Richie. And here they are stuck on the same boat, and they both have diving as a common bond, but yet they disliked each other immensely. And during that whole trip, they just avoided each other. There's not a lot of places to go in a scuba diving boat, maybe, what, 30, 40 feet long? You're kind of stuck. You're out there for, overnight, and you're in very close quarters, and normally everybody kind of tries to get along, but not these two. They could not stand each other. And through a long series of events, they wound up, I won't say diving together, but they jumped in the water at about the same time. They were not buddies, right? They were both doing their independent dives. They went down. They happened to dive to this, this U-boat, trying to figure out what it was. That U-boat that was an amazing thing. They didn't even know what it was at the time, but they dove. And John Chatterton found a plate inside the boat. That boat, they figured out that it was a submarine, but they had no clue what it was. It was a mess underwater there, and they John dove inside that that wreck of a thing through all the cables and the wires and all that kind of stuff, and he wound up grabbing some stuff and putting it in his bag, and he was heading up at the end of his dive, and he got up to about the 30-foot deco spot. And he was just sitting there doing his decompression. When you're diving that deep, I mean, you may be sitting at 30, you may be sitting at your 30-foot stop or your 20-foot stop for 15, 20, 25 minutes waiting to just off gas, right? So he was sitting there, and Richie came up and hit the same level at about the same time. So they were both, and there's a rope down there. And so you're just kind of holding on to it, and you're just kind of waiting underwater, and you're just kind of just watching the second hand move. Deco, right? Gotta love Deco. Anyway, so they're sitting there, and they're at the same level, and they hate each other. And Richie looks down, and he sees in this bag that John has a big white shiny thing. And he goes, and he reaches out for it. John turns away. Like, this is mine. I'm not about to let you see what I'm going through. No way. There was bad blood between them. They had arguments before. They had fights before. They had pranked each other. And, oh yeah, they had a history. Right? That's what you find at church sometimes. People that are completely different than you. And John said he was sitting there at that deco, at that deco's line, and he says, it was for just a second, I looked over at Richie, and I looked into his eyes, and he said, I saw something there that I had never seen before. Now, this is without talking. And he goes, I made the decision at that moment to let him look at what I had in the bag. Sure enough, he takes that bag. He lets Richie look at it. Richie opens up that bag and looks at it. It's a plate. And on the bottom of that plate is the Nazi symbol. And for a few moments, those two guys there were the only two people around that knew they had found a Nazi U-boat. They didn't even know what it was at this point in time in history. And this is two people that had kind of been forced together on a deco line out of necessity. They didn't like each other. In fact, they had great disdain for one another. But then when that moment hit, they made this connection and something clicked. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the beginning. That was the beginning of a lifelong friendship. That was the beginning. This was the U-boat. That was the beginning of a friendship that lasted for years. And those two, after that, they got up to the surface. They began to talk. And because of what they found, it overshadowed the problems that they had with one another. And there was still a little bit of a learning curve there for a while where they had to kind of get used to each other and figure each other out. But before too awful long, those two became tight. And those two together wound up doing all the research and teaching the Navy a few things about some, because the Navy didn't even know this boat was there, and they're supposed to know everything. And they wound up going through naval records, historical records, U-boat records, going to Germany, going to England, talking with people all across the world who are experts in the U-boat field. And the two of them together bonded. And for years, it took them 6 years to figure out what submarine this actually was. They worked together. And they became dependent upon one another. They built a bond. Right? And they had this burden to figure out what is the ship and where's it going and how do we figure out which one it is? And they tried and tried and tried. Meanwhile, people are diving on the wreck and all kinds of things are happening. And the two of them just kept at it, worked together. They went through all kinds of problems and struggles. They both had issues in life. Richie called up John 1 year and said, I said, John, he goes, I'm having struggles in my marriage. He goes, I'm out. I can't do this. And John was just flabbergasted. I mean, that's his, they had built such a bond and this thing was such a driving force in their life. And so Richie backed off to work on his marriage and his kids, which ultimately wound up falling apart anyway. And John was left alone. And he had one of the greatest diving years in a diver's history. He discovered two virgin wrecks. One of them people had been looking for years. It was considered like the Mount Everest of wrecks that they hadn't found yet. And he discovered it. And he, that year that Richie wasn't with him, he had all these accomplishments, all these successes. And he summed it all up, he said this. He said, all of that success meant absolutely nothing because there was that one burden that those two people shared. After some time, Richie came back. It took, I think it was about a year and a half. They finally got back together. They wound up getting together, and the two of them solved that mystery. But what's the point? Hey, the point is, they hated each other at first. But because of that common bond, they developed a relationship that took them to the point, literally, they changed national historical records for Germany, England, and the United States. They figured out what that boat was. Listen, you're going to need to, being at church is not enough. You're going to need to establish some relationships. And you're going to have to build that kind of openness, that kind of trust, that kind of reliance on one another. Don't keep your church relationships superficial. Because when you need help with a burden, that is not going to give you any help. All right? Listen, be real. Right? Help your church friends. Go out of your way to help them. Be real with them. Listen, don't just use them to see what you can get out of it. You be there for them. Listen, nobody expects perfection. How many of you expect perfection out of everybody else in this building? If you do, you got some issues you got to deal with. You don't have to be perfect. None of us are, right? We all got faults, failures. We all got struggles. That's right. Everyone has a past. No one expects perfection. It is okay to struggle. Listen, it is okay to fail once in a while. If you're only going to try to build a relationship with somebody who doesn't fail, good luck. You're not going to find it. Listen, if you're going to get these burdens relieved, you're going to need to find your burning bush. You're going to need, to go back to the brethren and begin to establish some things that weren't there before. And you are going to ultimately need to be open for help. And they say that this is one of the most difficult things that people struggle with, is getting to the point where they actually will let themselves be vulnerable enough to ask for help. Guys, we're really bad about this. We just don't like it. I can do it on my own. I'm my own man. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. I won't read the whole thing, but take a look at verse 1. This is Moses. He's gone through. The people are being the people. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. The fire of the Lord burnt among them, consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Take a look at verse 2. The people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Verse 4. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Take a look at verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Freely? Really? Yeah, those burdens were back there. They just chose to forget. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlics. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. These people got to complaining because of what they were going through, because of the current burdens. They forgot all about the past burdens. And all they were doing was just, and they were just dissatisfied with the way things were going in the congregation. Right? Look at verse 11. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Lord, why on earth are you doing this? Why are you putting this burden on me? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? God, how come you don't like me? You're giving me all these things. You're making me deal with all these people. How come you don't like me? That's what Moses is thinking, right? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. How's that? That's where Moses got. He saw the burning bush. He went back to his brethren. And now he finds himself in a place where, you know what he's got to do? He's got to open himself up for some help. Because he's got a burden on his shoulders now that is more than he can take. Look at Numbers 11, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of this people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Here's Moses, one of the greats, one of the greatest, greatest people in Hebrew history. And here he is, and he's gotten to the place where, listen, these burdens are too big for him. And we're afraid to ask for help. Why? I don't know, but it's just a common thing that we have to struggle with. Listen, you need to realize, you and I need to realize, we cannot carry all these burdens on our own. Moses couldn't. You think you're better than him? Right? You need to allow God to put the right people in your life. Why? Because the Lord takes the Spirit and puts it in those people's lives so that they can help bear the burden. So that you don't have to try to carry it on your own. God gave those 70 people a part of the Spirit just like Moses had. You know what they did? They understood. They understood. Why? Because God helped them understand. Moses could have looked at them and said, well, you've never gone through what I've gone through. Well, that's true. But God gave them a spirit that they could understand and help bear the burden. Amen? Listen, they were chosen. They carried the load too. You and I need to get to the place, if this church thing is going to do what it's supposed to do, we're going to need to get to the place where we can let others carry some of our burden. Even Moses had to do it. Right? When Robert was young, he had a G.I. Joe and a Luke Skywalker. And one day he was in the back of the van, and G.I. Joe and Luke Skywalker were magically transformed into Chuck Norris and Chuck Norris' son. And the two of them, Chuck Norris and Chuck Norris' son, were engaged in a battle back there in the back of the van. Ha, ya, whoa, ha, ha, ching, ah, ya, ha, ha, wa, wa, ya. Right? This is where the days normally went, once we had our son. And the son, Chuck Norris' son, happened to get his head chopped off. Then the son cried out, "Hey, Dad, Dad, he chopped my head off." I don't know how he did that without a head. So don't ask. Just enjoy the story. And the father, I think it was G.I. Joe, may have been Luke Skywalker, I don't know, but it was Chuck Norris, turned to his son and said, "That's okay, son, just keep fighting." I like that. I mean, that's awesome, right? I mean, the military guys in here, we understand that sentiment, right? I get it. That's like, that's the way it should be. That's Christianity at its best. But the moral of the story is no matter how bad you're hurt, right? Even if you get your head cut off with a lightsaber, the father is still there to encourage you and help you along. Amen? The father is still there to help relieve the burdens. Headless as you may be. Son, use your head. "I can't, Dad, it's gone." No. That explains a lot of things. No, just kidding. The point is, the father is there regardless of what happens, and he's there to help and to encourage and to carry you along the way and to help the burden be relieved. Amen? When you're under a heavy burden, listen, no matter what it is, you need that help that the Father can give. And just like Moses, the Lord is going to often use other people to help relieve your burden. Amen. You know the verse, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now I'm done. But the reality, folks, is one of the reasons why we come to church. Yes, I know the primary reason to worship God, to hear from Him. All right? But the reason He put us here together, there's a lot of other churches out there. The reason He put us here together is so that we could bear one another's burdens.
Amen.
Right? That we could be there for each other.
Amen.
And a lot of times when people get disenchanted with church, it's because they're going through things and they have burdens that they don't get help with. So if you're gonna have your burdens lifted, you're going to need to find your burning bush. Somehow or another, you got to get in touch with God. God's going to show Himself to you. You're going to find Him in a hospital room. You're going to find Him in prayer. You're going to find Him somewhere. You're going to have to get in touch with God. Amen? You're going to have to set your sight and look aside and say, "I will go see why that bush is not consumed." And you are going to have to get back with the brethren. Yeah, that means going to church. Why? So you can be around the people that can help.
Amen.
And I don't just mean sit like a lump on a log in a seat. I mean, get to know one another. Develop some relationships with one another. I know it's all ooey and gooey and warm and fuzzy. Learn to cry on each other's shoulders. Learn to talk about the things that are actually going on, right? Learn to be real with one another. Why? Listen, like John and Richie, they had some major, major, major differences, but they had one thing in common that ultimately united them. And ladies and gentlemen, if scuba diving and finding a shipwreck can unite two men that hated each other as badly as those two hated each other, what can the Lord Jesus Christ, being the common denominator among us, do among us? Right? We've got something much greater that holds us together, that drives us and motivates us, than just scuba diving. But that thing built a bond between those two men, and that bond took them through life. Trials, failures, disappointments, death. For those two, for both of them, divorce. They went through an awful lot of stuff together. But that bond united them in a way that you and I are supposed to be united as brethren. Again, it's an imperfect example, but it goes to show you the bond, right? Go back to the brethren, and then third, and I'm done. Just like Moses, if you and I are going to have our burdens lifted, right, we are going to have to be open for help. You are going to have to get to the place, and you're going to have to be okay with the fact that you are immortal, that you are mortal, that you are not Superman, that even you have weaknesses every now and then. And that's what the Lord put the 70 other people around you, who he's given the Spirit to, so that they can help bear one another's burdens. Amen? Find your burning bush, go back to the brethren, and ladies and gentlemen, you got to be open for help. Amen? And if you do that, I promise you, you will find, even in this place right here, the help that you need for the burdens you have. The Lord will see to it. Amen? But it takes a little effort on your part as well. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to be here on a Sunday morning. You're a great God. You're a, you're a compassionate God. Lord, you have taken care of us far better than we deserved. But the reality is, we're mortal men. We're flesh, we're but dust. We have the same struggles and trials that every other mortal man on this planet has. And Lord, we need help every now and then. I pray that as we live our lives and as we deal with the burdens, Father, oftentimes that the enemy places upon our shoulders, that you would help us to find our burning bush. Help us to realize that you're a great God and you can take care of it. Lord, help us to remember that you put us in the midst of a whole bunch of brethren to help with bearing the load. And Father, we need to realize that so that we can finally just be open and seek the help that you've provided. And Lord, if we can do those things, there is nothing that can happen that we can't make it through, that we can't find joy and peace and happiness on the other side of. But Father, we have to be willing to do those three things. Pray you'd help us in those areas. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.